it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right. Red Friday. Hey, done. Chiefs Eagles, Sunday at 325. Woo. Big one. Huge one. Massive. Keep using words to describe big.
Game of the year.
Oh, man. Until next week.
Until next week, yeah. The game of the year was Buffalo and Baltimore last week, right? People are saying it's the game of the year. I'm like, yeah, it was week one. That's exactly right. No doubt it was the game of the year. And now here we are at week two, and we got the game of the year coming to Kansas City.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
And it's a big deal, man. You don't want to use the term must win, but I think I get the feeling from a lot of fans, they feel like it's a must win, Dusty, because you don't want to start that season, you know, 0-2. And man, I think just the fans need a good performance on Sunday from the Chiefs. There's no doubt about that. Fans are kind of craving that right now. They're champing at the bit for a good performance.
Yeah, we'd love to see a win because you don't want to play with an entire season of adversity. Obviously, we've watched that all season long with the Royals. Could be a foreshadowing season of the Chiefs playing the last couple of weeks of the season, trying to get that final wild card spot. Similarities between both teams. We don't know yet if we're going to get there. Last night, devastating loss for the Royals. I think everybody's kind of in the same camp there. But it is a Red Friday, football focused Friday. Mitch Holtis, Sean Smith. So get your radios ready for two probably opposite people to talk about the Chiefs. One is going to be your play by play. The other one's going to be your voice in your own head and Sean Smith. So
that's
I'm excited
right.
to hear that man speak today. Plus Harold Kuntz of Fox 4 will join us for the roundtable at 9:15. So got a good show built today. Last night's game was a pretty entertaining one for me, at least. Answered a lot of questions. Washington still work to do.
Mm-hmm.
Coming into this sophomore season with Daniels and what's his name? Dan Quinn.
Yeah.
It looks like Dan Campbell's little brother. But
doesn't coach like it though.
No, well, no, does
coach
not go
the
for
opposite.
It on fourth down.
Yeah.
Is very conservative.
Yep.
Is Dan Quinn. I was a couple questions last night. You know, fourth and five on the 30-yard line, you're down 14-0. You throw a 35-yard out fade to McLaurin, well covered by that defense of Green Bay. You decide to kick the field goal. I just down by two scores. Late in the second quarter, you ain't going to win the game kicking field goals against Green Bay. You got to take chances. They didn't take chances. Green Bay wins last night. They excel themselves, I think, to the where a lot of people might think it's Philly, Green Bay, and the NFC. Am I wrong by
NFC
that?
NFC favorite this morning, I believe, Green Bay.
The Green Bay is really now they're the favorite in the NFC?
I believe so.
Can we talk semantics here
only
for a second?
Only 2-0 team in the league?
Yeah, that's right.
Best record
in
football.
Washington's the only 1-1 team in the NFL right now, too.
But you know how you have that drop that says, I know that I'm hard.
Yes.
Green Bay uniforms last night.
Great. Oh, yeah,
I know that I'm hard.
I mean, a lot of texts from people last
the
night.
Whiteout have you seen at
Lambeau
the
I mean, it was great. The icy uniforms from Green Bay. B-Dub was one of the texts last night, too. Dude, you see the uniforms?
Hell
man?
Yeah, dude.
Hell yeah, they're good.
I'm like, Dub
yeah.
knows the drip.
He does.
Dub knows
yeah.
the drip, man.
They are clean. They look good. I like the white helmet a lot.
Fair or unfair? Blurry blizzard in the middle of December in Lambeau. They rock those.
Oh,
shirts.
Fair. Yes. 100% yes. fair. Yeah, you got to do it in a blizzard, right? That would be outstanding if they did something like that. But it also goes to show you Green Bay is one of those teams that is looked at as, you know, one of the old school, you know, traditional teams in the NFL, and they're still changing their uniforms and doing stuff like that. So there's no reason the Chiefs can't go a total whiteout. You know, like we saw in Green Bay, kind of a frosty uniform at home would be really special. All all white, you know, and then have a white helmet to go with it, just like Green Bay did last night. Hey, if they can do it, so can we here in Kansas City. But a couple of things that I want to take away from that game last night. Mac, I know it's only 2 weeks, but I think you and I were kind of right on this sophomore year for the Washington football team. Mm-hmm. I wasn't impressed with them against the Giants. And then I look at Daniels, and now he's like, you know, tying RG3 for the most rushing yards by a quarterback in the first 20 games. I don't like that stat for a quarterback. I want my quarterback to be able to throw. That tells me he's running first before trying to throw. And I think we saw a lot of that against New York. I think we saw a lot of that again last night against Green Bay. It sure seems like he's trying to run first and maybe pass second. And that run first is an instinct where he's going almost right away. I remember having the conversations that the league was going to figure out Patrick Mahomes. Took a long time for that. They may have figured out Daniels in this operation so far, because I've not been impressed in the first 8 quarters that I've seen. Now, I'm going to also play the role of a jackass here for a second and ask this question. Yeah, I'm going to ask this question. Xavier Worthy went down. Everybody wrote off the Kansas City Chiefs. They were done. Jaden Reed, leading wide receiver for the Green Bay Packers a year ago, goes down. And nobody's talking about that like they talked about Xavier Worthy. Nobody's writing off the Green Bay Packers, who have a lesser quarterback and a lesser head coach right now than the Kansas City Chiefs. They lost their leading wide receiver from a year ago, and everybody's still ball washing the Green Bay Packers as the best team in the NFC. The Chiefs, with Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid on the sidelines, lose Xavier Worthy, and everybody wants to write them off like they're dead to mankind.
Do you want to know why? To answer your jackass question? Because Green Bay is the deepest team at wide receiver in the NFL.
Yeah.
And they have Romeo Doubs still. They have the rookie that they drafted last year. They have that Wilkes kid, number 13.
Dontavian Wicks.
Wicks.
Matthew
Wicks.
Golden.
Whereas the Chiefs, they lost Xavier Worthy, knowing that they had already lost Rashee Rice for 6 games as well. And then you look at the roster, you're like, Hollywood Brown, can he stay healthy? Tyshawn Thornton, can he stay healthy? Can he be that guy? And then you're like, Jaden Royals, well, he doesn't play because he's still hurt. And that's why the Packers are the Packers. Like, they've been to the NFC Championship game, but not a Super Bowl. They haven't won a Super Bowl since Aaron Rodgers was there in, 2011?
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I mean, the Chiefs are the focus of the NFL, and they're not deep at wide receiver. They have Juju Smith-Schuster, who's, you know, dissipating towards the end of his career, which he's still young, which is crazy. And they have
a run game.
And that's the other thing, too. They have Josh Jacobs.
They do have Josh Jacobs. You're right about that. But do the Chiefs not have a run game, or does Andy Reid not let the run game explode onto the scene?
We don't have a run game.
It's a little bit of both.
I think it is, too. I think you have to let your run game cook a little bit. Like, I think that's one of Andy's biggest weaknesses, is that if the run game doesn't work right away, it's just done. Like, and then you never go back to it. And so for this offense to kind of be multidimensional, if you will, for the Chiefs, you've got to commit to the run and you've got to stick to the run. And if it doesn't work on first down, so what? I think it's imperative to establish that run game. But I mean, deep at wide receiver, you're relying on a rookie, right? Mm-hmm. Who's never played before, mm-hmm. who was in the first round. You're relying on, well, now your number one receiver from a year ago went out, and it's still Jordan Love and Matt LaFleur. It's still not Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes. And you know, Patrick Mahomes and this organization, they've suffered injuries before. I mean, I think people seemingly forget that 11-6 season and how bad it was. I'll take the wide receivers right now, depth-wise, as opposed to what we had in that 11-6 season from a wide receiver standpoint. We really didn't have a running game back then either. And so I just think right now, I think with the way that teams are kind of focusing on the Chiefs and looking at the Chiefs, you've got to change it up. This is up to the Chiefs now to kind of change things up a little bit and give Philadelphia a little bit of a slap in the face of, holy cow, we weren't preparing for any of this. And look, I think they will. They're obviously very smart at what they do from an offensive standpoint, but I think, you know, having that game that they did against the Chargers and then, you know, having that game against Philadelphia and seeing where they are and what people are saying about them, it's time to come out and do some things a little bit differently on offense. And I think we're probably going to see that. I think we are going to see more of a commitment to the running game. As I say that, 15 total runs, 45 passes, you know, like, but I think you have to, man. I do. I think you have to start committing more to that running game.
If I put a gun to both of your heads and I said, who leads the Chiefs in rushing this week, would any of you say Patrick Mahomes?
I don't want to, no, but I won't. Okay. I won't say Patrick Mahomes. If Patrick Mahomes leads the team in rushing, I don't think it's a good script for the Chiefs. That's just me. I don't know what you guys think about that.
Well, yeah, if he leads the team in rushing, it's not the script. It's what it was last year. Last week he's running for his life, and he's making everything happen by himself, which I wouldn't be surprised if that's the case, but gonna head. No, I'll still go Pacheco. I think that I think Bob's probably right. They probably commit to it. Does it look good? Is it fruitful? Is it quality run? I don't think
But let me ask you this: why can't it be though? What's your hold up at saying that? Because if you're going to tell me offensive line, then we paid all the wrong guys.
Could be because you're down 14-0 against Philadelphia.
Well, no, I mean, you start the game running the football, right? You don't allow yourself to get down 14-0. If you receive, it is a methodical march down the field, in my opinion, this week. You go your 14-play drive, you know, run left, run right, little screen pass here. You know, you don't try to do stuff that you've been trying to do that maybe isn't working at this point in time. I think the best way to set up your passing game moving forward with the injuries to the wide receivers is via the run game. I really do. I think the run game needs to be an important part of what the Chiefs are going to do offensively until they're fully healthy from an offensive standpoint. And obviously good news, as we've kind of been telling you all week, Xavier Worthy out there practicing and whatnot. And that's why I said on Monday, I don't think it's as bad as everybody thinks it is. And everybody wanted to go out there and trade for Tyreek Hill and sign Mecole Hardman and do all this kind of stuff. And meanwhile, Xavier Worthy's like, yeah, I think I'm going to play probably next week. Maybe I get out there this week, but I'm probably going to play next week. That's why the Chiefs didn't make any moves and any rash decisions. They're ready to get this guy back.
See the video of him dancing in the practice field?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's trying out his little
shoulder move.
Shoulder
there.
Celebration. Yeah. Oh, yeah, he's ready.
How many videos showed him catching a football?
Yes, that's okay. Fair.
Well, that's interesting because they probably shut the cameras down before they even threw a pass at that practice. Remember, when they allow the cameras in, it's stretching.
Cameras up.
Cameras down. You've been there. You know what that's like.
Cameras down. All right, guys. Cameras up. Okay, what are they doing? Just huddling.
Yeah. Just see them over there. They're walking away. That's what you can videotape.
That's right.
Yeah. So, like, to have where are the catches? Yeah, they didn't let you see that. You didn't see anybody do anything with a football. You just saw guys, like, walking.
Yesterday, Jim Harbaugh, or as Mac has him in the system, him Harbaugh, in our system, had something weird to say. And there was an announcement out of nowhere about the Kansas City Chiefs PA announcer, Dale Carter, as we will talk about that as well for a brief second here on Fesco and Dusty, your home for Kansas City sports.
Good morning, Kansas City. This is Josh Simmons, and you're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Chiefs football, 96.5 The Fan.
Brought to you by Golden Oak Lending. Do you need extra cash? Golden Oak Lending can convert your home's equity into cash in as little as 14 days. Let Golden Oak Lending cure your blues.
Right back into it. I want to address this really quick. For those of you that go to the game on Sunday, you will not hear a familiar voice. Dale Carter has resigned as the PA announcer for the Kansas City Chiefs. You know that voice. It's third down. So he is going to pursue other things. As he finishes his note off saying, I have tremendous respect for the organization and I am thankful I got to do this. My life is incredibly blessed with a loving wife, amazing kids, and grandkids. My work life is a full two KFKF Q104, my podcast, Blue Springs South High School Football. Shout out there. And now a run for, I believe, Jackson County legislator, because there's a big vote on September 30th. I got my mail yesterday, sent you guys a picture.
Yeah.
I was like, Jackson County Board of Executives, what did I do? You know, I was kind of nervous. You know, you get that mail, you're like, you know what your normal mail is, right? You get your water bill. At least I get my water bill in the mail. I get Evergy bill that I don't need in the mail because I get an email reminder every day about what it is.
You don't have the automatic payment set up?
I do, which is weird.
And they still send the bill. What a waste of paper.
Couldn't tell you why. And then I see this.
Keeping Clavin employed.
It's like Jackson County Board of Executives. I'm like, oh, man, did I miss a court date? You know, like, what did I do? I open it up. It's like, hey, Dustin. Big day coming on September 30th. Make sure you go to the Lee Summit Library to cast your vote of a recall vote. I'm like, oh, this is the Frank White vote.
Yeah, I mean, I you sent that yesterday, and I've been thinking about this for a very long time. I just can't believe when I do the say it out loud test, we are here with Frank White. Like, this guy went from hero to zero in Kansas City. Like, memo to everybody else out there, your legacy matters, and what you do after you play really does matter. And you know, you raised everybody's taxes and then you chased the Royals and Chiefs maybe over to the Kansas side of the state line. Nobody wants, I just can't believe it's who was the second best player in organizational history for quite some time. One of the few numbers we have retired out there at Kauffman Stadium. And that's public enemy number one in Kansas City. And there's a recall vote for this guy. I mean, just think about where you were and where you are right now, Frank, because I'm sure it was probably better just kind of laying low on the baseball side of things.
To quote the great Carrington Harrison, life comes at you fast.
It really does. Yeah, that you said you didn't like Ferris Bueller's Day Off, but that's like the ending. Life comes at you fast. You better not stay around and look, you know? And it does. You're absolutely right. Because I just, like, you sent that letter yesterday. I'm like, this is reality. Yeah, like, this is reality that, like, Frank White is probably out as the Jackson County Commissioner.
2 weeks from Tuesday, baby.
It's unbelievable.
2 weeks from Tuesday cost me both my stadiums in my city. Thanks, dude.
And raised your taxes. What do you think it's more of? Do you think it's more of losing the Royals and potentially the Chiefs? Or do you think it's a personal property tax? It has to be the personal property tax, right?
My buddy that owns a business,
right?
Lee Summit, said it went up 200%.
Yeah, you can't do that to people.
Talk about the Say It Out Loud test. 200%.
Well, I mean, you look at what's going on the Kansas side of the state line, too. People are jumping ship. I guarantee you there's going to be a big company that leaves the Kansas City, Missouri side for the Kansas side soon.
I take Nall every day, Fesco, to see what house I can be a Manny at.
Yeah, right? Exactly. That's Manny. You want to be a Manny. I would love to have been a Manny. That would have been a great job. But I guarantee you, there's going to be a big company that's going to jump across the state line here sooner rather than later that's not a sports team that's really going to send shockwaves through Kansas City. And that's just another one. I mean, Johnson County now has 607,000 people living in it. I mean, that's an enormous amount of people living over there. And so, I mean, everybody was pissed about that kind of stuff, man. There's so many people that said they can't afford their house anymore, man. That sucks. Like, what are you doing?
Was it like 7% or something like that for... Gosh, it's terrible. Mortgage rates are like 7 or 5%. I don't know. Who knows?
Kiss my ass.
No doubt. Somebody for the 816 need to unretire his jersey.
That's I agree.
Put a Surfside sign right there.
Well, when they build the new stadium, I would not put his number up, and I would definitely not have that statue for Frank White. I would. I've said this for about a year now. I would put that statue in the Missouri River and let it just float down when they build the new stadium. I mean, when you're gutting Kauffman and you're saying, what do we need to take? You don't need to take the Frank White statue.
Another text from 816 says, I got my letter yesterday, too. My wife was wondering why I was so excited when I checked the mail.
Well, dude, I was nervous.
Nudie Magazine Day!
Yeah, I was nervous. I got this letter. I'm like, the hell is this about? And then I open it up. I'm going through the kitchen, getting home, dropping everything off. And I open up the letter. I'm like, oh! I was like, okay. And immediately see you guys a picture. I was like, it's happening. It's here. A week from next Tuesday, we'll be there.
Oh, yeah.
And let's see here. 24 hours... A little bit more than 24 hours, we'll have a game against the Philadelphia Eagles. But don't forget, they're riding pretty high in Los Angeles.
In the past, Quinn has kind of been a criticism, or has been a sort of criticism for his performances on the field. What have you seen from him in terms of his resilience and just kind of tuning out that outside noise?
Oh, man, I guess the first thing that jumps into my mind is like, in your face. You know, but if that was Quentin, that's what I'd be saying. Quentin's not saying that, but that's what I'd say. You know, if I was he.
That's 9-year-old Bob right there. Like,
in your face.
Playing on the schoolyard, you know, football or whatever, and throwing that football in your buddy's face after you just scored. In your face, man.
In your face.
In your face.
In your face.
Yeah, I like it. Who was it? What was it from? And somebody on the text line, I'm sure, will know. In the face. In the face.
I don't know, Rob Riggle.
God damn it, I don't know what it is about your face. But I want to deliver one of these right in your suck hole.
Is there anything I can do to work on that?
No, so not really. It's your face.
It's just your face.
Yeah.
Yeah. Rob Riggle there from Step Brothers.
Was it Coming to America? Into face! Into face!
Possibly. I remember I went to Missouri basketball camp, and I remember, was it Arthur Johnson?
Yeah, oh, yeah, I remember RDJ. Big dude number zero. I like Arthur Johnson.
I
hell of a player.
I think he swatted Ricky Paulding in like a scrimmage that we were watching. And he did that. He goes, in the face. And I was like, and we're all sitting like courtside. Because that was like the year after Mizzou, that Elite Eight run where Justin Gage, former Jets wide receiver, slid across the court to save a ball. And Quinn Snyder, you know, just jacked out of his mind.
Yeah.
And they got all the way to the Elite Eight. And it was like, I think it was like Kareem Rush. I want to say Ricky Paulding was on that team. Arthur Johnson, Justin Gage. They had a really, really good team. And I remember, they said it is Coming to America during the basketball game.
Yeah.
And I remember he's like Arthur Johnson swats it. And we're all like, oh my gosh. And he's just running on the court going in the face.
I love it.
That's hilarious.
That is fantastic. And you know, when we play the Chargers again, I would hope when there's a touchdown scored by the Chiefs, they look over to his sideline and go in the face.
Yeah. Cause that's, oh, it's from the Hangover when they do the taser test And they hit, I think it's Allen or Ed Helms with the taser. He's like in the face.
Yeah. It's like I just think it's hysterical. Like Harbaugh bringing the heat. I don't remember him being this colorful, if you will, when he was coaching the San Francisco 49ers. Maybe because he wasn't in our division and we weren't playing him twice a year, we just weren't paying much attention. Because
he was at Stanford.
I know, but he wasn't that colorful there. And then for the 5 minutes he was the KU head coach, he wasn't that colorful there. And then he wasn't that colorful at Michigan until you saw that end, and he was like, all of these are like confettis or snowflakes. They're all individuals. And you're like, okay, he's a little weird. But this stuff that he's doing out in LA now is just beautiful. I love it, man. He's the gift that keeps on giving for the content machine.
If you ever wanted a guy that supports you, that's your guy.
Yeah, right.
I mean, he is head over heels for Justin Herbert, as he should be. Mm-hmm. He's had a really good one regular season with him. He had a big win against the Chiefs in Brazil, and now they're riding high in Los Angeles. So we'll see how long that train keeps steaming down the tracks.
You know, but as hokey as it is, it really works, and that's what you need. Sure. Like no matter who you are, if you're a professional athlete, you're a radio host, you're a doctor, it doesn't matter what
Andy's
you do for
corny.
A living. Yeah.
Comes out as Santa Claus, yeah. Talks about cheeseburgers.
Right.
Gosh darn it, or dog it, Vahe, yeah. Or something like that. Like,
or how about those Chiefs?
Andy, they're, all the good ones are kind of corny.
They've got nerds. Yeah, they ultimately they are. But you want your coach to love your quarterback like that. Like, I think Justin Herbert, you know, looking back, what did he have? Two or three head coaches, right, before he got to, you know, Jim Harbaugh, and probably was like, man, it's hard. It's confusing. I'm constantly changing coaches, constantly changing offensive coordinators. And now you got a guy who is your new head coach, your third head coach in what, 4 years of being in the NFL. And he saddles up to you and he's like, you got this, man. And he loves you up, man. Like, you would love to have somebody come alongside you that loves you and wants you to be so successful as Jim Harbaugh does for that guy right there in LA. It's really kind of cool to see, you know, and that's the great relationship that you want your coach and your quarterback to have. Cause I've witnessed the other side. Matt Castle and Todd Haley was a toxic, toxic, vile relationship, and Harbaugh and Herbert, it's a 180 of that. And as bad as the Todd Haley, you know, Matt Castle relationship was, I kind of enjoy that relationship out there. Like, he's going to bat for his guy, and his guy knows that my coach has got my back in this one.
It's kind of the same thing. Look at how much of a turnaround the Royals have had getting rid of Matheny.
Yeah.
I mean, the guy, you know, literally hung up on a show because he didn't like the music.
Yeah, yeah. He told me he was going to do that, too, and I didn't think he was really truthful about it. Like, I didn't comprehend that you would actually hang up on a show because you didn't like a song. And he did.
F around and find out, Bob.
Yeah. I don't even want to go down that road.
So let's get onto this road about the Kansas City Chiefs, because fast start,
mm-hmm.
right? This is where I think you and Matt can kind of take over, because you both will have the same opinion, but in a different way. Fast start. Dan Orlovsky said yesterday on First Take that the Kansas City Chiefs need to get back to their explosive ways, or they will not be back in the Super Bowl in this era of football. Agree or disagree with what he had to say there, but there are tea leaves of that conversation that you can take away. The Chiefs have always been the team that puts the pedal down first. And what do we always hear? I wish Andy would keep his foot on the pedal, because they were up 24-3 and they end up winning the game 24-21 or 24-20. You're like, it was closer than it should have been or it could have been. And I think you guys are right when you talk about this topic. You kind of do have to get off to a fast start, because right now Philadelphia has your number. They know it. They beat you in the Super Bowl. You're licking your wounds from a loss in week one. They win against the Dallas Cowboys in their rivalry game in week one. Now they come to Kansas City, whereas the last time they played in Kansas City, they beat you.
Yep.
Sirianni, he's a Richard. We know that. Mm-hmm. They own that sort of bad guy, like the Green Lantern sort of like vibe on Philadelphia. So a fast start would be something nice to see, not only for the team, but to get that place rocking.
Yeah, and that's what it's going to be. Like, I'm looking
y'all
forward.
Be there.
Yeah, I can't wait. The Italians are coming in today. They're in San Francisco right now. They'll get in later this afternoon, and like they're ready to go. The city feels like it's ready to go for this event and this game. And people want to be loud, and people want to cheer, and nobody wants to sit down, and we all want to leave that game with a victory. We all want to leave that game exhausted and exuberant. We don't want to ride the bus home for what could be the last time, by the way. Ralph's got a buyer potentially for the bus coming out on Saturday. Sunday may be the last bus day for all of us. So get your bus fill on Saturday, Sunday.
Me, flying wasp.
Yeah, that's
Spalding,
exactly
get your
right.
Foot off the bus.
Yeah, get your foot off the bus, Spalding. That's Mac trying to buy the bus to prevent it from being sold to somebody we don't know. So Sunday may be the last bus tailgate of lifetime for us, but that's okay, you know, things move on and things change. For me, I was thinking about this last night. It's like Tracy Chapman, you got a fast car, right? We need a fast start for
the
this team. He did a really good job. No, but he, like, I wanted to hate his version of that song because Tracy's is so good. It's one of the greatest songs of all time. And I didn't want to like Luke Combs' version of it. Like, he remade a masterpiece, and he did an unbelievable job with it. It was phenomenal.
He was also giving her grace to the song. I know. And then he brought her out at the Grammys.
It was great.
But
before we knew all the backstory and the song came out, I'm like, I want to hate this song. I don't want to love it. And he nailed it. He did a great job. And she blessed it. And I mean, the whole thing is just, anyway, long story short. So give the fans, you know, the ability to see some successes. But I think it's more important, guys, for this team to have a fast start for themselves. They need to see the success right now out there on offense. Because if you go 3-and-out, you know immediately what that crowd's going to feel like, right? You know immediately heads are going to hang. I think they need to go on a long, sustained drive, like a plotted out drive, 13, 14, 15, 16 play type of drive, take a lot of that time off the clock, move down the field, and just methodically put together a glorious drive and get in the end zone on that first drive. I think this team, this offense, needs to see the success more than the fans, more than Andy, more than the media. I think they need to have some success early on in this game to say, yeah, we got this thing.
So your take is the Chiefs need to see it to believe it.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
Dr. McEnstein?
I'd put that solely on Andy Reid then. You know, start. Like, the script needs to be good. You're this, you know, offensive whiz, best offensive mind the NFL's ever seen. Then, okay, being without your top two wide receivers, you're the man for the job. You've got the greatest tight end of all time. You told us for 4 months how he still got gas left in the tank. Let's see it.
Yeah.
Two catches. Let's see it. Let's get him open. Tyquan Thornton, you've talked how great he is. 4.3 speed. Let's see it.
I mean, they're rolling out a Belichick comment yesterday about Tyquan Thornton. I mean, Belichick, yes. I guess, called, like, they're really trying to sell us Tyquan Thornton. And look, I'm in on Tyquan Thornton, too. You know. The only reason he didn't catch the ball on Friday night is because he wasn't supposed to be the guy. You work for months on that's an Xavier Worthy play.
And he still caught a great
catch. And he still made a great catch.
Diving catch.
Great play by him. But you look at the couple of misses that they had. If that's Worthy, those are completed passes, and we're talking about a completely different offense right now, but we're not. And so, yeah, you've got to get those guys involved. But man, I really do think, and I'm going to sound like a broken record a lot today, it's got to be about the running game, man. It's got to be, you got to let that running game get established, and you can't back away if it gets stopped right away. Like, you just can't say, all right, we're done. We're not going to run the football anymore. That's the key to winning this football game, man. You got to keep Philadelphia off balance. And I think you're right, Mac. This is Andy's the offensive genius, right?
Yep.
I'm excited to see what he's going to come up with now that they've got some adversity facing them.
This is a battle of the GMs on Sunday.
I was just thinking that.
Yeah, you got your Howie Roseman underwear on?
Of course.
Howie doesn't wear underwear.
I'll be on his sidelines.
Yeah, you will.
I'll make sure and go get
an autograph, get a picture, get a selfie. Oh, my God. Remember that time you drafted Jalen Carter? That was awesome, man. Remember that time you didn't suspend Jalen Carter for spitting?
That's not him.
Yeah. I wouldn't spend my player of the NFL.
No. Philadelphia, their poll question today is, should he be suspended for a series against the Chiefs?
For a series?
Yeah, right. Yeah, that's what they're asking.
Rich.
Isn't that great, a series?
What the hell are you talking about?
I would say it doesn't prove anything to anybody, but it would kind of give them some brownie points from the league if they did say, hey, the first quarter you're out. But this game's too massive.
It is. Yeah,
I want everybody's ass playing. Like, I wish Xavier Worthy would play. I'm glad Carter's playing. I want everybody on the field. I don't want excuses.
Yeah,
what
if he does play?
I mean,
you run him out there as just a decoy and have him on the field, right?
Of the guy with the crazy arms, like when he's excited? That's what he would look like running a 4-2 down the field.
You have to account for him, though. I mean, if you put him out there, you still have to account for him, you know, on the field. And so if you want to put a blazer out there, go ahead and do it, except for that guy at the Green Bay game last night.
I'd be wide open. Say, do it, Patrick. Throw it to him.
And that's fine. If you want to leave him wide open, let Patrick loft it up to him, let him run into the end zone and catch that football and score a touchdown then. Because I just think if he's got any sort of ability in that arm to play this weekend, look, I think he's playing next week. I never thought it was a serious injury as everybody thought it was on Saturday night or Friday night, whenever the hell that game was now. But he's a guy that if he's capable of being out there in any shape of the matter, you throw his ass out there and you let him run down the field, because that takes at least one defender away.
We saw the offense pick it up in that game. You know, they scored on all three drives they had.
I'm more concerned with what the defense did, quite honestly. I mean, we've spent so much time in this league now focused on the offense.
That's what the league is.
I know, but the defense was the organization that wasn't any really good.
That's the fast start we need.
Yeah, the defense needs to get out there. Yeah, exactly.
Some pressure.
I don't hate that either. I'm with you. Like, big game from Chris Jones, man. Let's go.
Jalen Hurts thinks he gets cute. That was a quick out pass. Trent McDuffie, boom. Pick six. Arrowhead would explode. I'd explode.
Yeah.
You'd be on the sideline. You'd be in the middle with your little ball sounder, be like, get in his face. You know, somebody that you guys gave a lot of praise to on Fox's pregame show, Rob Gronkowski, mm-hmm. still have that same attitude?
Yeah, I do.
What I was surprised about is when things aren't going their way, as you can see, when they start struggling a little bit, they start yelling at each other. Their blame game starts going on.
Yeah,
you can see it on
that?
The sidelines. And that's not a good situation. I mean, you want to come together when you're down, when things aren't going your way, and you want to come together to figure out why, you know, everything's not going the way it needs to go. So to see them starting to point fingers is not a good sign. They got to, you know, get incorporated on and get on the same page and not be blaming others.
Okay. And here's the thing I'm thinking at with
That's
Gronk.
Salt.
Like, I don't necessarily disagree with him. Like, if you're looking at it from the outside and the fighting's going on and you isolate that, like, I was reading a story this morning on Awful Announcing about this new documentary about the Montreal Expos, right? And they interviewed that guy, David Sampson, who's ruined baseball teams all over Major League Baseball. They interviewed him for 9 hours. He had no idea during the filming of that video that they were painting him as the villain for the Montreal Expos. He finishes the 9 hours and he's like, I called my agent, I called my lawyer, I called my family. I'm like, I think I did good, but they're going to edit this thing and it's going to make me look bad, right? And that's what we do. We edit things to make things look bad. So when you isolate on Tranquil or you isolate on Travis yelling at those guys, it looks bad. It really does. But Travis yelling at Juwan Taylor wasn't because of that night. That was because of years of this guy committing penalties. Chris Jones getting yelled at by Drew Tranquil probably wasn't the only moment that Drew Tranquil was like, dude, I'm trying back here, and if you're not going to do your job, then I can't do my job. Like, it probably reached that head. That wasn't a one-off just because of that incident. So I understand, like, when you isolate those, it kind of looks bad, and it looks like, oh, my God, they're yelling at each other. But I thought that was needed the other night for this team. But he's not wrong. Like, we've said for years – and talked about it for years, like, when they're not used to dealing with a lot of adversity because they've never dealt with adversity for the most part before, right? And now over the last couple of years, they're starting to deal with that adversity. And I think people look at it and go, I don't like how they respond. Well, they have never really had to respond from that much adversity. Now they will. And hopefully they respond a little bit better, you know?
I also wonder if it's because of who was doing it. Like, I remember watching when Brady get pissed on the sidelines.
Literally.
He was chewing everyone's ass.
Oh, that's the other thing.
His helmet on the ground.
I mean, Brady would go to the offensive line, the receivers, the running backs. I mean, chew ass. I mean, absolutely getting people's eyeballs.
Yeah, did Gronk forget that?
And then now it's like, well, but if it's the quarterback, is it okay? Like, if it's not,
yeah,
like,
I don't know.
You know, because then when Mahomes did it a couple years ago, because Kadarius Toney kept dropping passes, Mahomes was just bitching too much.
Yeah.
He was being a crybaby. And now there's like a double standard to where it's like, well, you know, Juwan Taylor's jumped off sides 100 times. In fact, Matt Nagy said something yesterday where it's like, I think he's got less than one time.
Speaking to the obvious, the penalties, that can't happen. And so that's where we're at. We've made it loud and clear. Juwan knows that. He understands it.
Does he?
It's something that,
be better,
especially in a moment like that in that game when things are a little bit off kilter now with the personnel, and you start to move the ball, you have a couple positive plays, and then boom, a penalty or a second. You know, so three penalties and a hold, not good enough. He knows that. When there's no one hiding from it, he's not hiding from it. He understands what's expected, and I think he's ready for that challenge here as we go.
That is a calm Matt Nagy. I can tell you that was a politically correct statement right there about what they're dealing with these penalties.
That also tells you,
man,
it is not going to be a game.
No, it's
not. It is not going to be three games.
No.
It's going to be one time.
One time. Yeah. You're done.
Yeah.
And it's – see,
he has no leeway.
He's going to do it.
Of course.
He's going to do it.
It's like, don't touch that stove. It's going to burn your fingers.
Right.
Told you.
Yeah, exactly.
Go to your room.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's going to happen.
He is that right there, that is a calm leader right there talking about Juwan Taylor. Behind the scenes, it's like, let me tell you something.
Mm-hmm.
You broke the tight end. You've broken this offense now. We have injuries. It's hard enough to overcome those. We can't have you false starting every other play. We can't have you holding every other play. So if you're going to do all that kind of stuff, It's hard enough to overcome the injuries. It's even harder to overcome injury plus penalty. So we're going to eliminate the penalty. We can't eliminate the injury, but we can eliminate you from committing those penalties. And we got a guy that we paid, what, $10, $15 million to that can more than happily fill in for your spot.
And not be a buzzkill to a drive. Sports Talk Radio on 96.5 The Fan is presented by Paramount Plus. Sylvester Stallone is back in his original series hit, Tulsa King. This season, Dwight faces his most dangerous adversities, yet forcing him to fight for everything he's built and protect his empire. Stream the new season of Tulsa King on Sunday, September 21st, exclusively on Paramount Plus. Coming up on the other side, it is the rematch of the Super Bowl. Odds are out. What do we like? What do we not like? Here on Fesco and Dusty with Mac Morey on 96.5 The Fan, your home for the Kansas City Chiefs.
Don't be afraid to ride the lightning. No!
Oh! In the face! In the face! No!
Good morning, Kansas City. This is Isaiah Pacheco, and you're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Chiefs football, 96.5 The Fan.
Brought to you by Golden Oak Lending. Do you need extra cash? Golden Oak Lending can convert your home's equity into cash in as little as 14 days. Let Golden Oak Lending cure your blues.
It's unbelievable that it's Friday, baby. It is Friday. Red Friday. Stay positive, people. It's going to be okay. We got a game Sunday. Just got to get there. 325, they make you wait all day.
They make you wait all day. They really do.
They
make
you wait all day. You get full on food. You're like, I could take a nap, and then the game starts, and you're ready. Because I'm excited for this game. I really am. Because the last time we saw these two teams play, it was an embarrassment. It was our fault, by the way. We take ownership.
Oh, yes, absolutely. Our fault. Did we get blamed by the text line that we were too confident in the Super Bowl and so it's our fault they lost? Because those are my favorite texts. The people think we can affect the outcome.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I do believe I can affect the outcome. I'm 48 years old. I still believe if I'm watching, I got an input on this thing.
That is funny. What's the weirdest thing you do when the Chiefs are losing? Because some people, like my dad,
I don't remember
and I,
much anymore about that.
My dad and I would, we'd go in the car, in the driveway.
You change things up a little bit.
And
we'd
listen to Mitch on the radio.
Yeah.
And I told Mitch that, like when we were down back in the 90s, you know, dad would be like, all right, let's go. I'm like, what are we doing? He goes, 17-3, we got to go in the car. Get in the car. Dante Hall, return kick, 17-10. He goes, all right, I go, we're not leaving the car yet.
They can't leave
the
car.
And then it'd be 17-17. We'd stay in the car, and there's my stepmom going, these guys are freaking weird.
It's really weird, man. Sports and guys, it's like it really is strange, and the way that you think and control.
People change
I mean, it's just
our boss when he was rooting for Duke basketball. He changed his shorts.
Oh, it's crazy.
He'd shave his head. He'd wax his chest.
No, he just waxed his back one time. Yeah, that is awful. Those legs.
So I am interested. If people still have those sort of.
My wife does that. Like Jen will do that. She'll move. You know, like we hardly, unless we're at the game, watch the game together. I mean, it's really like because
really. A pacer, nail biter.
Oh, it's like she's never seen this team play. Remember, 13-second game on the floor and a ball crying. I'm like, hey, we got this. We're fine. Like, but it's like it's just rinse and repeat. Like we've done this now for 8 years. Like we've seen what this team is capable of doing. Right. We don't need to be pacing in the first quarter. But it got to the point where like I can't do this anymore. You're gonna have to go upstairs or something like that. She goes, yeah, you're just sitting there all calm. I'm like, yeah, because I know what's gonna happen. Like I've seen the script before. Right. We're gonna be just fine. And so yeah, it's bizarre at our house. She'll go someplace else and watch the game or whatever and all that. Even my kids, my oldest daughter, like during that Miami Dolphins playoff game, she finally looked at me and she goes, these TV announcers suck. We need Josh and the other two. I'm like, let's put them on.
She gets it. From the 816, I always switch with which color. That's tough.
Yeah.
I always switch with which color jersey I'm wearing if they're losing.
Okay.
From the 913, my buddy Jake and I walk to the bar behind our seats and chug a whiskey Coke when we're doing bad to kickstart the team.
Does that work? And what section are you in? Because I may need one of those from you.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, chug a whiskey and Coke. I mean, I guess it's just like cough syrup. I mean,
oh God. When was the last time you had a whiskey and Coke?
Oh boy.
You know, rum and Coke, all that.
Pretty recently.
Has it been recently for you?
Yeah, I like whiskey Coke.
See,
rum and Coke.
I never cared for that at all in my life. Like, I could probably count on my hand the amount of rum and Cokes I've had in my life or whiskey and Cokes that I've had.
Well, that
in my
used
life.
To be rum and Coke used to be the happy hour drink at the garage. That's what it was called. It was called the garage in Warrensburg, and it was 7 to 10. And of course, they'd tease it. We might do 7 to 11. We don't know. Depends on the outcome. It was always 7 to 11, and you just drink. You'd go up there, double fist whiskey Coke.
That was a big college drink. Yeah.
Oh yeah, whiskey Coke. You didn't really taste it.
And those white. white, like Coors Light, Bud Light, Miller Light cups that they serve beer yeah. in that break. You know, they're really cheap cups, but those were, oh, God.
Somebody says section 130 if you want a whiskey and Coke.
I'm in 101. 130 is not far from 101.
You want to meet Bob Fesco, get a whiskey. If Philadelphia Eagles go 7-0, Bob Fesco is going to come over there and be like, you know what? Let's have a whiskey and Coke. Somebody says from the 314, we would take comeback shots. I don't like the name of that.
I can imagine what Monday morning's like.
I have a lot of things going on in my head right now, but this is PG-13 radio. From the 913, currently back home after halfway. Why does it always do this on the text line? Currently back home after halfway to the office. I forgot the flags on my truck today. You got to go back.
You got to go back.
Fly it high.
Yeah, you got to go back if you forgot that kind of stuff.
From the 913, Don Julio shot every touchdown, then a garage visit during halftime has worked for me the last 7 years.
Oh, my God.
Wait,
hang on a second. Slow down. Okay. Slow down. Slow the F down. Are you taking a shot after every Chiefs touchdown or every time they get behind? Or like, I gotta know, because if you're doing a Don Julio shot after every Chiefs touchdown, you didn't make it through week two of Mahomes' first year as a starter.
Week one.
Yeah, week one.
He threw five touchdowns.
And he threw five or six the next week or something like that. Six. Like, yeah, you didn't make it through.
He threw five against the Chargers and threw six against Pittsburgh.
I thought it was 6-4. Whatever it was. Like, you were dead. If you're doing a Don Julio shot after every touchdown, my God. So what were you doing it after? I need more of that story. Anytime they fall behind, you take a shot? Because that's not a lot.
Yes, every Chiefs touchdown.
Every Chiefs touchdown? Damn. Dude, how hard is your liver?
Hello, America.
Yeah, I mean, you had 50 shots of Don Julio in the regular season.
He then responds with, the Houston playoff game killed me.
Wait, which Houston playoff game? Because we
down
won 24-0. Okay, because we won the other one 30-0. Hey, that's a lot, too.
He scored over 50 in that other one.
How about the Rams regular season game where it was 55-54?
Hello, America.
Were you dead?
They thought Shakira was in their living room.
A shot after every touchdown for the Chiefs. This guy's dead.
Hiccups don't lie in that game. So Super Bowl rematch, Eagles at Chiefs, a walk-off score to win the game. Yes, plus 550. No, minus 1,000.
Yeah, I think you got to take the no on that one, right? I mean, that's the Super Bowl all over again. You got to go no on that one. Probably not going to be a walk-off in this one, right?
I feel like that guy's Terrell Hatton texting in. I messed up all over my arms and my beard.
Got
sick on my beard, man. Yeah, like, you got this is probably the beard. This there. Guy walks around and just drinks it out of the bottle. He doesn't care. Yeah, exactly. It doesn't affect him.
Number of tush push plays. Did I say that right? Tush push? I think I said something wrong. Dude, it's hard to talk today. I'm so excited.
We're pumped, man.
We're juiced. Eagles at Chiefs. Number of tush push plays over under 1.5.
Over.
Hammer the over.
Do you think?
There'll be one on the first drive. It'll be 4th-and-1 from like the 48-yard line, and they'll line up in the tush push.
Is that one of those plays that we perceive happening a lot that really doesn't?
No, I think it happens a good amount.
Oh, I mean, I think three locks you can have in this game is Mahomes over 210, Jalen Hurts anytime.
210 rushing or pass?
not 210 rushing, please. That'd be a quarterback record.
What
it?
Would he do? If Patrick Mahomes has 210 yards rushing on Sunday, what's the outcome of that game?
I don't know.
We lose probably.
Like, well, what's going on? I have no idea.
Honestly, like, seriously, think about that for a second. If the quarterback of the Chiefs, Patrick Mahomes, rushes for 210 yards on Sunday, I think they win. Because 210 yards to me is a lot of designed runs. That's not scrambling for your life, I wouldn't imagine.
Yeah, Vic Fangio's fired.
You know how we run, like, they want to run the 65 toss power trap?
Mm-hmm.
Can we have Mahomes run the bootleg that Bono did?
Yeah.
Where he just has, you just have Trey Smith instead of whoever it was running with him down the field. Yeah. Just, like, being like, go ahead, man, 75-yard bootleg.
Yeah, like, run I would like Mahomes. That, yeah.
Some more prop bets in this game.
Eagles, if Bono can do it, Mahomes could sure as hell do it, you know?
I think that's why Bono did it. No one in their right mind had him running that on 4th-and-1 with Marcus Allen in the backfield.
I mean, that's just still a tough play to stop, man. Yeah, like, fake everybody left and come around right and go and, you know.
Eagles at Chiefs, most passing plus rushing yards. Mahomes at minus 160, Jalen Hurts at plus 120.
I mean, I like the plus money there. Just because I don't know.
Well, I also think that Mahomes might throw for 250, but he might run for 20, which gives him 270.
Right.
Whereas Hurts might run for 70 and throw for 180. I guess that'd still be Mahomes, right? That'd be
250. Yeah. I like Mahomes in this. Yeah.
You do? You like negative money on that
one?
It's
I'll take it.
Minus 160 is big.
Yeah,
too,
I know. That's pretty big. But I'd still, I mean, I just think he's going to do that. He's going to have more than Hurts.
This is why I'm not a good gambler, because I never take the negatives. Yeah, I always go with positive money.
I'm with you on that.
You know, I'm just like, if I'm going to do it, I might as well win something, right?
Yeah, Chiefs on the money line, I think right now is plus 108. So you just take the Chiefs outright. That's probably going to be my bet. I'm not going to take the point and a half. I think if they're going to win, they're going to win by three. They win 27-28. Which it still would be a win for me on the money line. What happens first? Either team scores a touchdown, Taylor Swift shown live. I'm taking the plus 120 Taylor Swift.
How
to show her walking in?
Yeah, I mean, they're going to... Now, hang on a second. Now, these odds that we see here are after kickoff. It's not pregame.
They will show Taylor Swift before each team scores a touchdown.
I think so, too. I think they'll be... Because it's Fox. It's a two-hour pregame show. It's a big deal for them. They're making this out to be a mini Super Bowl. They're bringing their whole pregame show here. They've been constructing the set since Monday out in the parking lot. Oh, yeah, Taylor will probably be shown before either team scores. I would imagine she's one of the first things that Fox does and shows Taylor Swift and say, big game
after
at Arrowhead.
After kickoff, that's the thing.
That's the thing, because I could see them doing it in the pregame before the kickoff.
And if the Eagles get the ball first, there's less incentive for them to show.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Taylor Swift, if the Chiefs get the ball first, this is an easy smash, because Kelsey's going to be in that script. He's going to get a catch.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Coming up on the other side, we talk about Xavier Worthy. Plus, we have former Chiefs Tyrann Mathieu in the 7 o'clock hour and Mitch Holtis all joining us here on Fesco and Dusty with Mac Morey here on a Friday on 96.5 The Fan, your home for the Kansas City Chiefs.
Good morning, Kansas City. This is George Karlaftis, and you're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Chiefs football, 96.5 The Fan.
Brought to you by Golden Oak Lending. Do you need extra cash? Golden Oak Lending can convert your home's equity into cash in as little as 14 days. Let Golden Oak Lending cure your blues.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.